news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this very special episode of the Lex Podcast. It's episode 10. I guess that's somewhat of a milestone. At least it's a big round number. Today we're going to do the E3 wrap-up episode, and this was a very special episode. I was planning to do a roundtable, and a couple things went wrong, and I'm going to address them here and now before we start, just to get it all out of the way. Number one, we were supposed to have four people on, myself and three other guests, and the other guest kind of didn't really commit, and we kind of left the spot open for him, and he didn't end up showing up, so it was just three, which actually worked out pretty well. It turned out to be just the right number. I want to thank everybody who sent in emails asking to be a part of the roundtable. It's much appreciated. I'm sorry if you didn't get in, but I wanted to keep this rather small just because I didn't want too many people talking over each other. But thank you very much for sending in emails. Number two, the recording got completely borked, meaning my voice would cut out. It was mainly my voice. My voice would cut out periodically throughout the recording, which means I had to go back and record a lot of the stuff that I said, and then I had to, like, Frankenstein this all together. So this is not the full recording that we did. I left quite a bit on the cutting room floor just to make this all fit and work together nicely. So it's unfortunate because we had a lot of discussions about things that won't be mentioned on this episode, but I'm hoping that sometime later, maybe we can do this all again about a different topic, because it was a very fun dynamic, and, something that I do want to do more frequently, but I know you guys kind of get tired of listening to me talk constantly all the time, but, this is all E3. I don't want to waste any more of your time, so hopefully you enjoy, and hopefully it's not too unstructured. Thanks for listening. All right. So, Wario, Brian, thank you for joining me. Let's get right into the first question here. What's the one game that you were looking forward to hearing about that maybe disappointed you at the end of E3? And what was a game that you weren't really looking forward to, per se, but by E3's end, you actually kind of, maybe even want to purchase or pre-order it or what have you? So give us one of each if you can.
As far as a game that I was disappointed by, man, I don't know if I get that disappointed anymore because I follow things so closely. It's, you know, you kind of see the patterns in the way a game develops. Now I can't really think of any that like disappointed me, and there wasn't really anything that I hoped. I guess the thing I was kind of thinking might happen is they wouldn't be ready to announce GTA 5 for PC and next gen, and so I guess maybe that would be the most surprising thing I thought might not happen, but then it turned out that it did.
Yeah, honestly, I was shocked that they announced GTA 5 next gen as well, because we had heard that Rockstar was going to be there, but we didn't really know what they were going to be there for. They haven't really done E3 in the past, other than kind of piggyback off of other people's pressers. You know, they had last year with Sony and announcing the bundle with the PS3 and GTA 5, But it was very nice to see GTA 5 next gen. We all knew it was coming. We didn't know when, but we knew that PS4, Xbox One, PC were going to get GTA 5 in some form or fashion at some point. But it was nice to see it. It was nice to get a release window. And I was surprised by it, too. I'll talk a little bit more about that later.
I saw right away that the textures were different and things like that. So instantly I was like, wow, you know, because they started with that wildlife shot right away. And at first I was going, boy, that I think that looks like Grand Theft Auto. And then when the deer popped his head up, I'd shot so many deer running around with Trevor in that game. I knew, and I was pretty excited just because if we're going to have to wait so long for heists and we're going to have to wait so long for, you know, the DLC to flesh out and everything, I'd rather just get on board with next gen and move along. Like it was totally worth the money to play through the game the first time. And, you know, I'll be glad to play it again on PC.
You know, we're both, Wario, you and I don't know about you, Brian, but we're both big fans of GTA 5 O'Clock. CVG's podcast on YouTube, and they basically broke down the trailer, and they stopped and rewound and all that stuff, and you actually see that there is a lot of detail put into this. There's new wildlife, so there's cats now, there's different breeds of dogs, there's, you know, who knows what else is going to be in this. And not only that, but when you get up close, like they showed the train tracks and the train, I mean, it all looks good on PS3, Xbox 360. But when you get up in there and you see each pebble is like rendered and just crazy stuff like that. But what I'm most excited for, and you know, I don't want to go off on a tangent because I think I'll talk about this later, but is using that DualShock 4 controller to play the game, because the DualShock 3 is what we played GTA 5 with so far. And I was playing Destiny with a DualShock 4 earlier today, and it's just amazing how much better of a controller that is. But, you know, like Wario said before, that ain't saying much for the DualShock 3. So, Brian, what were you disappointed in coming out of E3 that maybe you were looking forward to? And vice versa, what were you not looking forward to but came out like, oh, man, this is looking good. I might pick this up.
Right. Well, it wasn't really one game that I was disappointed by. I think, honestly, it was more so for me, the entire, I may track that back a little later, but it was the Microsoft conference, just period. You know, they didn't really show anything that I expected of them that made me think about, hey, maybe I should get off of my ass and, you know, go spend some money on this Xbox. Like, they didn't show me anything like that. I was, you know, but I will be honest, they did do a lot better than they did at last year's E3. You know, like they, like the Phil Spencer guy, he gets it. Like, he totally gets it. I dig, you know, that he dedicated their entire presser to just games. No TV. So I did respect that. I did appreciate that. But one game that I did not really care about going into E3, I must say it was Destiny. Holy crap. I saw, you know, what they came out with last year, you know, for the trailer and stuff like that. You know, I didn't really pay any attention to it or, you know, anything like that for the year or throughout the year. But, man, I saw the trailer at this year's E3, and then I totally got to play the Alpha today, and I was blown away. I haven't had that much fun playing a first-person shooter in a while. So, you know, I totally think that's it for me, man, is Destiny, is that game that I really wasn't expecting to just blow me away, but glad I got a chance to play it and all.
Yeah, you and I both got to play the Destiny Alpha for PS4, and that, I'd say the same thing. Right. Maybe not E3. Maybe that didn't do it for me. But definitely seeing that the alpha was available, you know, seeing it's something new to play for PS4, downloaded it. Wasn't looking forward to it really at all. I'm not really into that kind of game, you know, where the shooting is primary focus because I'm pretty bad at first-person shooters. But, I mean, I'm okay. I'm not the worst, but I'm definitely nowhere near good. And so playing that myself, I felt like this is now something that I'm looking forward to buy, to get in my clutches and play with other people, and just a matter of whether other people are going to buy it or not, whether I have people to play with. So, Wario, you don't have access to the alpha right now, but this is a game that you've been looking at for a very long time. What do you think of what you've read about Destiny, and what's got you excited so far that you've kind of studied up on?
I mean, a lot of everything that you guys are just saying. I mean, I've been following this game super close since Bungie announced it last year. I mean, if you remember, it's kind of funny because the two games I was talking about when we did our E3 thing last year that I was really excited about is GTA 5 and Destiny, and here we are again. And those are definitely two of my most favored games going into this year. So just overall, what Destiny offers is Bungie as a studio combining with their years of efforts making basically one of the best single-player co-op and competitive multiplayer full-circle shooter games and series of all time, and trying it, you know, in this new formula online where there's going to be a mix between co-op teams and, you know, these arena-style battles, and then there's going to be the whole, you know, to me, it's their ability to now take this series to levels they couldn't have taken Halo without kind of disenfranchising the people that really liked, you know, think about how many people were just upset with the way things changed between Halo 2 and Halo 3. And I think maybe that might have, you know, put the writing on the wall for them as far as needing to be able to kind of step back out and do something new. And Destiny is going to allow them to take what they've already done and basically flesh it out into something way bigger because they're not starting with such a small base anymore. So,
you know, what kind of struck you as, you know, oh, I need to buy this now?
You know, in most games, like Call of Duty, Battlefield, you have those guys that just, they just want to be lone wolves. They don't really give a damn. Like, they just want to go off and do what they want to do. With this game, I actually felt teamwork. You know what I mean? Like, to, you know, maybe hold down a certain, you know, spot, you know, from target A to B to C. Like, I had help. I felt like I was on a team as opposed to, you know, just trying to do everything alone because everybody just wanted to do their own thing. Like, I really love that. So hopefully, you know, that spills over to the actual game and, you know, you still get to play with those kinds of people. So yeah, you know, I definitely love the teamwork aspect of that. Like, you really don't get that with pieces of, you know, crap like Call of Duty. So, you know,
the game coming into the show that I was anticipating hearing more about, and Wario is going to smirk and nod his head over there, I know for sure, but the game that I was really looking forward to, because I put a lot of hours into it, you both know how much I play this game, is Madden. And with Madden 15, the stuff they announced, changing the way defense plays with the tackle cone and all this, it's, to me, that's not what I'm interested in personally. As a hardcore fan who's played the game so long that I don't need a tackling cone, and I understand this is to get more people playing the game. You know, the more people play the game, the more money it makes. The more money it makes, the more money they can put into the game. I get all that. But at the same time, a hardcore fan like me who's been wanting certain features, like a lot of customization options, just aren't there that should be in a sports title by now. That, you know, a revamped franchise mode. I like franchise mode revamped. I'd like it revamped every year because that's what I play the most. But every other year would be nice, and it just doesn't seem like that's what they're going for with this series, or at least this title coming up with Madden 15, and that's very disappointing to me. I'm sure the game will look better. I'm sure it'll play better, you know, and I'm sure I'll dump in a couple hundred hours into it again. But, you know, it it gets to a point where you want certain features in a game, and you get tired of waiting for them. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know why, you know, what would happen if I ever got to the point of, okay, these are obviously not coming. Do I stop playing? Do I just play older titles? Because right. I need to play football games. I love football. Playing football games to me is like playing chess. It's relaxing. It's, you know, it's something that I don't even really put all that much into. I just sit down on the couch, wear some headphones, listen to something, and play Madden. So I was disappointed by that. I think the game going into the show that I didn't really hear anything about, and coming out of the show, hearing more about it and really understanding what it's all about, I think for me, that was Super Smash Brothers. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Super Smash Brothers fan, per se. I'm pretty bad at Super I'm awful at Super Smash Brothers. I don't know how to play Super Smash Brothers. I just hit buttons and hope that it connects. I'm pretty bad. But coming into this E3, being somewhat interested, but not, you know, I was probably going to pick it up, but, you know, I didn't know what kind of value, me personally, I would get out of it. I think that's a testament of how well Nintendo did this week, pushing Super Smash Brothers, not only with their digital event, not only with the Digital Treehouse on Twitch, but also the Smash Brothers Invitational Tournament, which was a lot of fun to watch, and it really got me excited for it. I actually went and seeked the Smash Brothers documentary on YouTube and watched all that and tried to see if there were any tutorials to teach me anything on there, because I do want to learn how to play, because it just looks so beautiful. It looks great and it looks like a lot of fun. And so that's a game I'm now looking forward to greatly, instead of before I was just kind of like, you know, it's coming out, whatever. All right, so Brian, compared to last year's E3, where we got all the console reveals and it seemed like everybody was posting a video about, you know, Microsoft or yay Sony, boo Microsoft. Do you think last year was better than this year overall?
Right. Yeah, you know, last year's E3 was really important, because that was the E3 that was going to, you know, set the next, I don't know, 7-8 years or however long this generation is going to last. That one was to set everything up, so that one was, you know, fairly important. But I feel like this one was supposed to be a little more important on, you know, because of the fact that, okay, we have these new consoles out now, but, you know, this is what we are going to do with them, and this is where we're going. So I honestly would have to say, man, that is a really difficult question. Yeah, I just pretty much think that this E3 was supposed to be more important than last year's, but I don't think that really happened at all. I was, you know, on top of, you know, actually having to work and things like that, I wasn't able to actually, you know, watch all of E3 like I was, you know, able to last year. But, yeah, you know, I would definitely have to say, you know, I would still have to stick with last year's E3, you know, provided that not that much excitement went into this year's E3. So, you know.
And Wario, what about you? Last year's E3, I know you didn't like all the console talk, and that seemed to eat up most of E3.
Yeah, I mean, last year, everything was so focused on setting the table and selling these consoles that they were rushing out to market for holiday season last year. So everything, you know, Microsoft and Sony's side felt so console heavy that when it came around to the games, you know, they were showing a lot of stuff that was either launch oriented or is still in production right now for the most part. I mean, other than Assassin's Creed Black Flag and some of the other things that had even been there from the E3 the year before that. And this year, you know, things were a lot more game emphasized, which definitely helped with the presentation running a lot smoother, because we weren't dealing with a lot of hard stats. And E3 is an insider event that's been more turned outward to the fans. Like, the keynotes and stuff never used to be for this open air presentation like they've had it. And I think that's why Nintendo was really smart getting on the ball with Nintendo Direct when they did. Because, like, last year, I really liked that their presentation was all online. They didn't have people talking, you know. It was all, you know, here's a debut, and here's, you know, somebody at the end of the debut if you want to stick around to talk about this game, but we're going to go ahead and roll out the next debut. And this year was, like, an even better streamlined version of that, where, I mean, just like what happened with you, if you're a Nintendo fan, you never had to leave their stream all day. So, right. You know, and I think that Nintendo continues to set an example for what we'll see Sony and Microsoft do. I mean, Microsoft and Sony this year seemed very confused about where, you know, how to handle themselves, because as someone that's watched year after year of E3, like, the way that Lex cares about the draft and, like, things like that, that's more about how I care about E3. Like, I tend to watch every game and every presentation, and I like to see the whole industry kind of talking about what they're doing and where the future of the industry as a whole is going. And so, you know, to see Sony and Microsoft kind of in this weird position where they want to not upset the fans by giving them, you know, a bunch of raw data. Like, the older E3s, you'd get raw statistics popping up with bar charts and different things. And, you know, a lot of the casual people that didn't realize that this was more like shareholders and media types and things like that, it was closed off before, because those, you know, this is setting the table for the rest of the year. So, I mean, yeah, like, this year, definitely the games made it, you know, much, much more digestible for me.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. I mean, last year we had the consoles, which ate up a lot. We had Microsoft's kind of confused, you know, we're doing this, and everybody's kind of focused on making sure that Microsoft changed their ways, and that basically eclipsed most of the game news, if not all of the game news. And this year was strictly about games. I mean, even Sony had Project Morpheus. They didn't really even talk about it unless it was on the show floor, you know, and they were showing that off. But still, it wasn't a focus. It was more games. Sony also showed the Powers TV show, which I kind of got the feeling that not a lot of people cared about that were there for the games. But I know that there are fans of that comic book and that are happy to see that as a show and happy that Sony's bringing that to the table. But E3 is about games.
So. I had flashbacks to when they were pushing the tester.
Oh, God.
The tester. Like, yeah. And it was really weird that Microsoft had basically no EA presence really at, you know, sports-wise, I should say, at their conference after last year had that whole, you know, sideshow of all these things. And I figured for sure, you know, they were going to come out again and talk about what, you know, all of the NFL licensing and their partnership with Microsoft was going to offer. And I was kind of surprised that they didn't really have an EA Sports presence at all after pushing it so hard last year.
All right.
So, Wario, did you like Nintendo's strategy of more digital, more Twitch feeds, more streaming to people's houses? Or do you still prefer Sony and Microsoft's way of doing big press events and kind of, you know, using that specific time to do live announcements and so on and so forth.
Well, you know, if next year we see a big first party push from all three console makers, you could easily do something like that, you know? And I think that this year especially, you know, they were trying hard not to do a lot of overlapping. Because, you know, there were years where it's like, okay, we've seen both Call of Duty and Battlefields on both keynotes. We've seen Assassin's Creed on both keynotes. And I think that overall, you know, as far as presentation-wise, if, you know, if Sony and Microsoft can get enough titles between them to do the same thing, it'd be fantastic. But Nintendo has a leg up in that advantage where, you know, if they want to just sit and plot about what they're going to do with their first party titles and how they're going to present them, as far as squeezing in third party titles around those, it's a luxury to them. And you see how much that Sony and Microsoft depend on those third party franchises to sell their systems. So that could end up being the distinct advantage Nintendo has as far as that presentation, especially with their ability to get the Robot Chicken guys and tell all these jokes. And, you know, other developers and things might not want to be connected with a presentation like that, but when it's all done in-house like that, you don't have any problems.
The Robot Chicken stuff was hilarious.
Yes. I mean, like, how do you break the ice, especially as someone that used to watch the old Nintendo press conferences, and they were so awkward. The way, you know, these, you know, late 30s, 40-year-olds, you know, trying to convey, like, this is how you have fun, and it all looks really awkward. And, you know, Nintendo fans, they endear themselves to, like, the corporate people like Reggie and Shiggy and those types. So, you know, this sets them up in such a better way. Like, the whole viral thing, it's way more representative of that young attitude Nintendo has about certain aspects, you know, without going into their crazy security, you know, issues and things like that.
And Brian, what do you think? Do you like the way Nintendo's doing things? Or are you more of a traditional
big presser guy? Love what Nintendo did this year. Actually, they were my favorite parts of E3. That is very shocking for me to say, but I honestly wouldn't mind, you know, having both ways. You know, it's like, it's exciting, you know, for, you know, Xbox and, well, Microsoft and Sony, you know, to do what they did, you know, with, like, you know, with the audience and everything like that, you know, but it's also, you know, good to have that other side, like, you know, the digital event like Nintendo has. So I could definitely dig both, you know. There's nothing wrong with variety there, you know.
I actually had to miss Nintendo's conference. My son was graduating, and so I didn't get to see the conference until after we got back from that, and I was able to watch it, catch up real quick, and then converse with everybody about what just happened. It was an excellent way, and that's happening across the board. It's not just Nintendo. People with Twitch streams, they kind of chunk it off and upload it to YouTube, and they keep the Twitch stream rolling and everything. So it's definitely a benefit for us who like to stay at home. And certainly E3 is something that it would probably be hell to go to just because of, you know, the sheer mass in that convention center. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things like WrestleMania. You may not like the WWE or the product or whatever, but it might be nice to go at least once just to enjoy the spectacle, as it were. But for a lot of people, that's not an option. For some people, it's just they don't want to do that at all. It's nice to have all this available to us, just sitting on our couch, And like Wario said, it didn't used to be like this. It didn't used to be open. It used to be about statistics and sales, and almost like a stockholder or a shareholders meeting, right? You know, it's just, and sometimes Sony treats it that way still. But it was nice. I really enjoyed where it's going, and I hope it continues to go that way. Because we're getting streams not just at E3. We're getting streams all the time now. We're getting developer streams on a lot of PC games, but... you know, I found several on Project Spark, which is an Xbox One, Xbox 360 game, as well as PC. So I hope we start getting those more and developers start being a lot more transparent with what they're making and getting feedback from people as they develop it. That'd be cool. Which brings us to our listener question. Real quick, we're going to do this. How would you rate the Microsoft and Sony press events on Monday? Let's just do it. I don't know. Out of 5. Brian, what would you rate Microsoft and Sony?
I mean, you know, as I said earlier, I think I would have to at least give Microsoft a 4. Because of the fact that they stuck with nothing but games. Just games. It wasn't TV, like they were, you know, shoving down your fucking, well, freaking throats last year. You know, it was just pure games. You know, but it was a lot of third-party titles. I didn't really get to see a lot of exclusives like I thought I was going to see. and for Sony, I think I would honestly have to give them at least a 3. I mean, it wasn't, like, you know, for, like, Microsoft, it was too many third-party titles, not enough you know, exclusives, or not, you know, a lot of looks at the exclusives that I thought we were going to see, or that they actually did show, excuse me. You know, but it just, you know, I can't rate, you know, either one of them a 5 or anything. You know, it's not like they were perfect or anything like that, but, you know, they were still fairly entertaining, but, you know, yeah.
All right, guys, what kind of rating would you give Microsoft and Sony?
I guess if I was going to give Microsoft a rating, it'd probably be – I'd probably actually give them both 4s. And that's probably because overall, you know, Microsoft did go down the list and there's a ton of exclusives that they're offering. As far as, you know, thinking back over what they announced, mostly what I saw was, you know, them kind of saying, you know, screw Xbox 360, you know, we're moving forward with this Xbox One, and here's all this crazy stuff we have to offer. I mean, the Master Chief Collection probably got the biggest ovation of the whole presentation, if I remember correctly. And then, you know, Sunset Overdrive got some really good notice. I know a lot of people are really excited about Forza Horizon 2, Project Spark, and then the Halo 5 Guardians beta thing was kind of announced, and then the Crackdown 3 or whatever the new Crackdown is going to be called. You know, they did pretty well for themselves. And then Sony 2, I mean, Sony probably had the bigger third-party announcement, but then, like, they had Grim Fandango, which, I mean, you know, having Tim Schafer not only say that the PlayStation 4 was the console to develop on, but now he's putting his words, you know, to use by bringing back an exclusive title for the PS4 like Grim Fandango, which, I mean, that might not be a game that most people know about, but if you ask anybody that knows about gaming, they'll go off about that game. Well, and it's for Vita too, which is just fantastic. I mean,
so what do you guys think of no Sony Vita at the Sony press conference? Are they done with it? Or did they just not want to push it because those who know about it, you know, they have a bundle coming out too.
I mean, money-wise, because the bundle for Destiny's $450, depending on what they would do with the Vita bundle, you know, the Vita is going to be a lot more tempting, especially with that cross compatibility. I mean, they were headed that way with the PSP. And so with the Vita having that connectivity, you know, oh, that's what I was going to say, was it's good that they took a back seat with the Vita, because after pushing it for two straight years and then, you know, this jump in the console generations, basically, we're basically seeing a relatively easygoing holidays. They're not really stacking a bunch of crap in everybody's way this time. And that's due to that flip in the new generation. So, you know, Vita is one of those systems that I think, you know, Nintendo pushes their handheld hard because it works for them. I think Sony kind of trusts that the Vita sells to kind of that more adult gamer and people that, you know, don't game on their phones and kind of want that other dedicated gaming peripheral. But I think that because Sony's so wrapped up in all their other devices, it doesn't bother them that the Vita doesn't sell a ton of units. I mean, they did sell quite a few with that Borderlands bundle, though, so.
Right, it sells decently. It's not a heavy hitter for sure. It's not like the 3DS that's sold 45 million units or whatever.
Right.
But it's still something to be. It's nice to have that presence in the marketplace, just to have that presence. And I think one of the most things that I'm proud of is remote play on the Vita, because that's something that gets touted quite a bit. I was reading, from what I understand, the Vita bundle with the PS4 comes with a Borderlands 2 voucher, digital download, and an 8 GB Vita memory card. So definitely not a bad pickup, if you're looking to get both, of course.
I'm still just shocked that Brian didn't give Sony a 5 because they announced YouTube coming to PS4.
Oh my god. Oh, Brian, you still there, buddy? I think Brian's gone. Oh man. So we lost. Yeah, that just knocked him out of the call.
That's right. Critical.
Brian, I don't know where you're at, buddy. I don't know if you're muted. You have to go do something. But we'll continue on. We'll forge on here without Brian when he comes back. Oh, I can see his name pop up, so he's trying to talk or something. Maybe he's muted or something. I don't know. Let's see. What was I going to talk about next? Brian just completely threw me off here.
Sorry about that.
There we go. There he is. We miss your reaction, buddy. We miss your reaction.
Sorry about that, man.
That's all right. Favorite thing from Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony, Ubisoft, EA. You know, if you can throw out, you don't have to include all. You don't have to exclude any. Let's go with Brian. Go ahead and tell us what your favorite things from each company were.
Well, I'm honestly just gonna throw out the Ubisoft one. I couldn't even bother with the Ubisoft one, but in all honesty, Nintendo, everything.
So you're gonna buy a Wii U and a 3DS now.
Like, for the first time in a long time, Nintendo actually showed me something that, like, I'm actually thinking about gonna go get my Wii U tomorrow. Ooh. Or sometime this weekend. Like, that's how strong that was. Like, everything from the opening with Iwata and Reggie, you know, like, they're fighting, and, you know, to the announcement of the Pokemon Omega Ruby, or whatever you want to call it, to the Amiibo and Super Smash Brothers, Hyrule Warriors. The new Zelda game looked pretty sweet. Bayonetta 2, which comes with the original Bayonetta. Like, to Xenoblade Chronicles X. Like, everything they showed, like, it made me jizz. Like, I love literally everything Nintendo showed for the first time in a very long time. They pretty much showed, you know, that they do have a console for everybody, and that is what I loved about Nintendo's presser. Xbox, you know, I'm gonna point again to Phil Spencer. I love the direction that Phil Spencer is taking. He, like I said earlier, he gets it.
I think Nintendo just makes me feel all good inside, like a Pixar movie, like. you know, as someone that really watches these presentations as a report card of what each, you know, major publisher and console maker doing, you know, I don't know if I could point out one title that, as someone that does not own any of the Nintendo consoles currently, you know, I didn't really see that thing that grabbed me, but I saw a lot of things that continue to spark my interest. You know, I'm not a Smash Brothers guy. The new Mario Karts just don't, they don't speak to me. But, you know, the new Kirby, Mario Maker, the Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, so many cool little games. And those are the kind of things that, you know, maybe as they adapt and get those games, you know, to one side of the 3DS or the Wii U where I can decide on getting one or the other, I might make a choice. But otherwise, you know, I just overall Nintendo is just fun because the way they present everything is so digestible. You can just kind of sit back and at least even as someone who doesn't own anything, get a good look at what they have to offer.
I was going back to with Nintendo. I pretty much liked everything that they did. I don't know if you guys heard everything I said about Nintendo going down the list, but you know, yeah, like with Nintendo from like the opening with Iwata and Reggie, and you know the announcement of Pokemon Omega Ruby and the Amiibo things with the Super.
So, Brian, we hope you can make it back, brother. And if you can't, then maybe some other day. But
he was brave.
He was brave. Him. Yeah, we knew him. Unlike Chambers. Unlike Chambers, we hardly knew Yi. So,
he's a jerk face anyways.
Yeah, he's got a skinny wiener for sure. Let's keep it rolling. Let's go back to you checked Nintendo off the list. Microsoft, Sony, Ubisoft, EA show you anything that got you?
Of course, of course, of course they did. That's the big question. And, you know, I, as someone that likes every, you know, to dip my hand in and see what's up with everybody, you know, Xbox One, again, with Project Spark, is still probably the thing that I look at Microsoft the most and go, man, I really, that's the game I want to play,
yeah.
You know, and that kind of has, because it's a game creator, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how many of the people who make maps in Minecraft and things will transfer over to Project Spark and get into building those kind of games over there too.
Well, it's funny because it's in open beta right now. Like if you have Windows 8.1, if you have an Xbox One, and I think 360 too, you can go ahead and get in on that open beta and start playing the game. And they were talking about it on one of their streams that, you know, a guy went ahead and made the first level of Fable and it was like spot on and it took him 20 hours to do it, you know? So, I mean, 20 hours may seem like a long time to the normal person, but for game development, to create all that in 20 hours is amazing.
Absolutely. Ask the people that painstakingly take hours inside of Minecraft or RPG Maker to flesh out these crazy stories, and you have no idea when you're playing something that just looks like a normal little Final Fantasy clone how much work actually goes into that stuff.
Yeah, insane amount of hours, for sure. I'm right there with you on Project Spark though. It was a game that last year it did pique my interest, but the art style was, and it's still, the art style is a little to me, but I understand that they'll be releasing other packs of textures of models and stuff like that. And to my understanding, they're going to be releasing a lot of these for free. So
yeah, that's what I hear too. So that's awesome. And Conquer.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Which is so badass.
That is. People who have been waiting for a decade for a new Conquered game, now they can go make their own and make it as foul as they want to make it.
Yes, exactly. All the poop monsters. As far as Sony went, of course, you can't, you know, you have to mention Grim Fandango. I'm not a little Big Planet guy, but, you know, I'm sure everyone was really excited to see that get announced. Uncharted 4, of course, was a huge reveal. Boy, Project Beast, I'm not, you know, I'm, again, I look at a lot of the games and it's like, hey, you know, I'm not a big fan of that, but, you know, I know people are excited about it, but I mean, nothing was bigger than the Grand Theft Auto reveal at the end, as much as, you know, all of their in-house stuff was cool. Oh, and No Man's Sky, of course, which for the second year in the roar, yeah, that game just, whatever that game actually ends up being, I just want it. I don't even care. Wherever this, I mean, I'll probably end up getting it for PC, even though it's, you know, console exclusive to the PS4, just because it seems like they'd support that platform the best. But, yeah, I mean, and I'm glad to see a game like that once again get a spot on a bigger stage, too. Then, I guess moving along, EA, because I'm not a big, like, I love sports games, but I'm so sick of following every damn new sports game every year and just blah. So taking a backseat from the blah, like, the thing, of course, I was most excited about with EA was Star Wars Battlefront 3. And, you know, still that it's DICE and, you know, there's going to be issues with it and everything like that. It's still on that Frostbite engine with that development crew. It certainly has a better chance of growing into something, you know, 10 times bigger than what the first two games were, because they have so much to already go off of. So,
I mean, yeah, you know, like just the fact that it is made by EA, it could mean a lot. You know, it could mean good things, but then again, it is EA, so I'm not really sure. But I mean, you know, I would mainly just have to wait to see what happens with it. I mean, you know, I don't really even know if I'm that interested in it, to be honest with you.
But yeah, how about golf with battleships in it? That's pretty new.
I don't even know where to start with that. That's why I was saying that my two games was Battlefront and Mirror's Edge 2. Call it a day. Just bleh.
All right. And then Ubisoft, Wario, Far Cry 4, looking pretty good to you?
I'm not a big fan of Far Cry's gameplay. I do enjoy Far Cry as far as like getting to play in the sandbox, but not a big fan of like their stealth moments and things like that. The game I'm really excited about is The Division, which is just amazing. I mean, everything that they continuously show about that game just continues to show that it's taking the steps necessary to be the first game in this slew of new games in the new console era to be unlike all the other ones. So, I mean, the co-op, the persistent world that's kept saved in an online state, so every time you return to the world, it's in the save state that you left it in. So, those kind of things just, I love getting to see what we have to look forward to, and that pretty soon that's going to be a staple in a lot of games.
Mm-hmm. Well, right on. Is there any game, Brian, that maybe didn't get a lot of hype or coverage that maybe people are sleeping on that you saw at E3 that people should know about? I know this is kind of an unfair question for you because you didn't see a whole lot of E3, but
right. I mean, yeah. I mean, like due to me, you know, having to work and all, like I really didn't get to see a lot of it besides the main stuff and you know some of like the indie stuff. But I mean, like everything that I saw is what everybody else should have seen, you know. But I also wanted to go back to The Division, like Wario was talking about. Which goes back to the other question, something I never really paid attention to from the first announcement. But actually seeing the new trailer from this past week, like, holy shit. Like, I'm excited for that one as well. I will be putting in a pre-order for that one, too. So, I mean, yeah, you know, but to go to your question, like, everything that I saw, is pretty much what everybody else should have seen. So, it's not much for me there.
So that was it. Episode 10 of the Lex Podcast is in the books. E3 is here. Well, it was here. Now it's gone. And, I really enjoyed talking with both Brian and Wario about E3. And I can't wait for a lot of the games coming out. My wallet's going to be hurting for sure. But if there's anything we missed on the show, and again, we did talk about things that I didn't put in there, but anyway, if you want to send me your thoughts on E3, you can always do that via email, lexmarston@gmail.com, lexmarston@gmail.com. I always respond to emails, so you throw me one, you're going to get a response. You can also follow me on Twitter, @the_lexicon. And support rantemradio.com, because that's where this podcast is housed. Check out all the shows on rantemradio.com. There's a plethora of them. Just kind of support that independent internet radio deal that we've got going on. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, I'd like to thank my guests, Wario and Brian, for showing up and being on the show. And once again, Ryan Chambers has a skinny wiener. Thanks for listening. So long, folks.